Make sure I get some commitments on certain nights, and I've got several on Wednesday night. And I was trying to say, don't wait till the last night. You come the last night and you think, Lord, that was good, and you'd want to have been here Sunday morning. So, but please keep reaching out to your family. This is a great opportunity. If you have family members that live here in the city, say, come to go to church with me. And at least use this as an opportunity to talk to them about it. Amen. Sometimes you try to figure out, how can I bring up this subject? When you have a meeting like this, it's easy to bring it up. Hey, we're having a revival meeting. I want you to come. And I've told many people, I said, listen, God will speak to your heart. You'll enjoy the message. And so you do your best to get folks to come. And we'll trust the Lord with this meeting. Amen. Come on, Brother Joey.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Love you, man. Love you. All right. Good evening. Good to see you with us tonight. If you will, if you don't mind, take the word of God and go meet a Mark chapter number 6 this evening. Mark chapter number 6 tonight here for our time together in the word of God. And it's such a blessing to see each of you with us tonight.
Amen.
And thank you so much for coming. And I know you could be somewhere else tonight. Amen. And then appreciate you coming and being here with us. And I'm excited about our time together this evening. And going to be a little different. I think maybe a different type message, but it's one that that I need tonight, and I feel like the Lord is really leading us here, and that God would help us in the song. Thank you, ladies, for the song.
Amen.
And it was right in tune here, and as we get into it, and but I am enjoying being here, and thank y'all so much. I didn't get to say much Sunday morning about it, because you know I'm nervous, you're nervous. I'm still nervous, but you know what I mean. You feel a little better about it Monday than you did on Sunday, and so, but man, it's a blessing to be here. It's an honor, and I thank God for you, your church, your pastor and his family, and it's such a blessing to meet new faces too from the last
Amen.
Time that I was here. And I do wish my family could come, and they couldn't. One of my boys is in college now in North Carolina, and he travels and sings and preaches with one of the groups there in the college, and my other one just had surgery, and my wife's a teacher, and so they're all tied up with their schedules. And I think last time we were here was during spring break, and they love getting away. My boys never get over the fact that you can just drive down the interstate and stop and go fish in a lake off the interstate. They never got over that. And y'all don't know this, the last time we were here, we actually took some fish back to the hotel one time. And I was like, y'all got to go put them back in. And they fished in the pond behind Dick's Sporting Goods. And I was like, I'm sure that's not legal, boys. Y'all can't. They've never forgotten that. And it was a blessing for them. But I tell you tonight, I'm glad glad to be a Christian tonight. Amen. And I'm glad to know that, that if I died right now, that I'm going to heaven.
Yes.
The assurance are already there, you know?
Yes.
And it's a blessing to have that assurance.
Yes.
But the scary side of that is there's a lot of people that don't have that assurance yet.
Right.
And it's our job to try to be that light for them and the testimony for them. And I want to look into it tonight. Not about that. You'll be back tomorrow night. Be preaching on that. And so let's go to Mark chapter number 6. If you're there, will you say amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Our respect for God's word. Mark chapter number 6 tonight. Mark chapter number 6 as we get into this evening. And I want to try to, if I can, for sake of time, I don't want to. Now, if you weren't here last night and you're back tonight, you missed the short sermon last night, okay? And so I just want to make sure I put that out there. May preach a little longer tonight. I did last night, but last night was a shorter sermon, all right? And my youngest son says, Dad, don't out-preach the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I got to learn that as a preacher. But for sake of time here tonight, and in the text, let me explain this to you. This is one of the miracles where Jesus and the disciples, they had a lot of people following them. And thousands of people have now been following Jesus. They get out on the hillside and they realize, okay, they haven't eaten and they're hungry. They don't have time to go back and get food in the town. So what are we going to do? Going to have a miracle. The little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they bring that over there, and Jesus blesses it. He breaks it. And you know the miracle? They feed 5,000 men, their wives and children. Could have been as many as 15 to 20, maybe even 25,000. We don't know. Yeah. But we do know this. It was a lot of people. Y'all get that? Can I get amen? But I want to peek in on that, if you will. Look, if you will, look in verse number 42. After he has did this miracle for thousands of people, look what happens in verse 42. And the Bible says this. And they did all eat and were what?
Filled.
Now don't miss this. They did all eat and were filled. And again, you hear some people, maybe a liberal, what we would consider like a liberal church would say, hey, Jesus fed the 5,000, he did all these things to try to reach lost people. Listen, these people were already following him.
Yeah.
He was taking care of his people. Does that make sense?
Amen.
He was taking care of his folks. And don't miss the context here. But the Bible says he gave them all food, they filled them up, he met their needs. But now, look at verse 43. The Bible says, and they took up what?
12
baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And this is not in, and Johnny talks about not including their wives and children. So think about this. They just saw this miracle where Jesus took 2 fish, maybe sardines, and 5 pieces of bread and fed thousands and thousands of people. And the 12 disciples didn't just eat. They didn't just get full, but get this. They left with a doggy bag, my friend.
Yeah.
They left with a to-go plate, a home plate. They had a basket left over. Each of the disciples had leftovers. Do you see it? Will you say amen?
Amen.
That gives context. Now look in verse number 45, because God has been good to us.
Amen.
And the Bible says, and straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida, and he sent away the people. Now the word straightway there in verse 45 is so interesting, because it literally means that Jesus gave great urgency to this. After this miracle, he noticed something. He picked up on something. Don't miss this. And he said, I've got to do something in my disciples' lives. Something's missing. And the Bible says straightway, and that is the fact that Jesus was urgent.
Yeah.
Get in this ship and go to the Sea of Galilee. Why? Look in verse 46. The Bible says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, and the ship was in the midst of the sea, he was alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. Now we know Jesus was praying, but what was he praying about? Here's my personal opinion. My what?
Opinion.
I'm saying, make sure I say opinion, because the Bible don't say, but I want to say context. I believe he was praying for his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He was alone praying. The Bible says he was watching them.
Yeah.
Why would he be watching them? He was praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to teach them. Now look what happens. And the Bible says, and when he was, and when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. He alone on the land. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, They supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him, and they were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves and beyond measure, and wondered. Now, why did all this happen? Look in verse 42. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was what?
Hardened.
And tonight, for the next few moments, I want to talk about this idea of getting past our apathy. Getting past our apathy, will you pray with me? Now, Father, tonight, God, we need you. Lord, we don't need more knowledge. We don't need greater opportunity. We don't need more things. We need you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You are the need of our lives. You are the need of our homes.
Yes, God.
You are the need of our church. And God, right here in the next few moments, I pray that you will speak to us.
Please, Lord.
That you'll talk to us, God, about where we are.
Yes.
About where I live. God, my own heart. And I pray, Jesus, that you will have your way here in the next few moments.
Yes,
we pray this in your name. And all God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Several years ago in China, there was a social media campaign that was launched, and it was titled Stop Apathy. And this campaign was on the cusp of an incident that occurred in one of the major cities in China that involved a 2-year-old toddler girl named let me get her name here right, Xing Wang. And Xing Wang is the story of a 2-year-old that was walking down the sidewalk with her family, and she got somehow she wandered away from her parents. She wandered away from those who were watching over her. And after she wandered away from them, the story said that she drifted out into the road into oncoming traffic, and she was hit by a car. Well, the cameras later will reveal the incident, and after she was hit by the car, the story says that the 2-year-old toddler lay there on the road, and people would pass by, and the toddler would be laying there, and nobody would offer her a helping hand. Well, the story said, and after she laid there on the road for a while, that another car came by and ran over the toddler again.
Oh,
and the camera showed that after the 2-year-old was run over again by another car, that again, bypassers would just walk by and not pay attention to this 2-year-old child laying in the street bleeding. And finally, this 50-year-old lady came up on the scene and saw the little girl and went and grabbed her out of the road and took her, contacted authorities. She went to the hospital, and the little girl would later go on and die. But they were talking to Granny Chin about it, and they were asking her, see, how can something like this happen? How can people watch a toddler be run over? How can people watch a toddler laying in the street bleeding and not respond and try to help? And she said this: our world has become so apathetic that we no longer care about that which matters, which is life. And the truth of the matter is, my friend, that is where we find ourselves at spiritually many times as Christians. We know what needs to be done, but because of apathy in our life, we lack the enthusiasm for the things that really matter in this world.
Amen.
Now tonight, if you don't mind, I don't want to preach to the people outside of these walls. I want to preach to those of us that are inside
Amen.
Of these walls. Is it okay if I be honest tonight?
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about your life, brother. I'm talking about my heart.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, when apathy sets in my life and in your life, we will come to church and we will sing the songs of the faith about what our God has done for us, how He gave His life on the cross for our sins. Though He never knew sin, He became sin for us that we might live and be forgiven and go to heaven
Amen.
When we die. Listen, my friend, we didn't deserve salvation,
no.
But I'm thankful tonight that He died so that I could be saved.
Amen.
But how can we sing those songs and not be burdened and not be broken and not be filled with praise and glory for who our God is tonight? Am I right about it? Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Oh, tonight, how can we go home and read our Bibles And the inspired word of God that men have died for years, that has been 1,000 years preserved for us. How can we read this book and not be moved? How can we treat it like just a book that we have a lot of knowledge in, my friend? This is not a word tonight. This is a living word, my friend. This is not a book. This is God's book. Amen. This is not a story. It is the Jesus, the incarnate word before us, given to us tonight. And my friend, we ought to be thankful for the things of God in our life. Amen. Tonight, but apathy comes to all of us. Mm-hmm. It's not a respecter of persons. Apathy doesn't care that I'm a pastor.
Right.
Apathy doesn't care that your pastor is a pastor. Right. Apathy doesn't care that you can quote scripture. Apathy does not care that you come to church tonight. Apathy can creep into all of us.
Yes, amen.
No Christian tonight desires to be apathetic. No Christian desires to become numb to the work that God is doing around us. No Christian tonight desires to place God on the same level of importance in our life as we do the things of this world.
You're right, amen.
Hey, y'all, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Let's be what?
Honest.
Most of the American church was more excited and anticipated the last election that we just had.
Come on, preacher, that's right.
Than church services.
Yeah. Yep.
Amen.
That's sad. That's
now, true. We can lie about it, we can deny it, but you know, like I know, that that is the truth.
Yeah.
Why? You ready? Apathy.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
Because when apathy gets to us, but what we have to realize tonight is this, y'all, is that apathy is the slow killer of the Church of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It is the thing that will eat away at us. Chris Long said this. He said, of all the evils in the world, one of the most dangerous is that of apathy. Another man said this, the death of an institution is not caused by a single event, but the slow death of apathy as it decays away. Mm. And do you know tonight that apathy is something that as Christians we must be careful about? Why?
Yes.
Because all of us battle it.
Mm. That's right, preacher. Amen.
See, Reggie, well, let me gauge my own heart. And listen, I told you I'm not preaching. Sometimes we go to church and we want to hear the pastor get up and preach against all the sins out there. We need help tonight
Amen.
In our hearts.
Amen.
And by the way, y'all didn't invite me to come to pamper us up.
No.
Joel Osteen's not my hero and he's not even in my phone. Amen.
Amen.
But get this. We all struggle with it.
Yeah.
But just this week, the last 7 days, I want you to think about this. How many times have you read your Bible and it meant nothing?
Mm, come on, preacher.
You gotta think.
Yeah.
You know why? Apathy.
Mm.
Maybe you went 24 hours without even reading your Bible.
Mm.
Why? You ready? Apathy.
Right.
Apathy causes us to bring down that which is sacred. And it becomes like every other area of our life. We all struggle with it, but hey, others struggle with it too.
Mm.
Now y'all tonight, this is one thing I do want to say about those of us that are not here, those that are not here tonight. But you know why Christians get cold, get away from the Lord and get out of church? Their heart grows cold, apathetic.
Mm. Yeah.
And so those tonight that are away while from church tonight, this can be applied to them. But for us tonight, this is exactly, by the way, I'm glad to hear babies crying
amen.
In church. Somebody say amen right there. That means we ain't dead yet. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, see, she said yeah. Y'all heard that. No kidding, a couple weeks ago I was preaching and I said that and the little kids across the auditorium, amen, yeah, amen. And then I said, can I get 5 more minutes? And one little boy screamed, no. Hey, 5 more minutes? He said, no. So we don't let him in the auditorium anymore, amen. He goes to the nurse. But get this. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible tells us the disciples had just sat through a miracle that has been talked about for thousands of years.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
That's so true.
How God took 2 sardines.
Yeah.
And bundles of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And fed thousands. And left with leftovers.
Right.
Now don't miss this. And the disciples showed no excitement over the miracle.
Mm.
And you know what? Jesus noticed it.
Mm.
He saw it. And he knew that they had lost some wonder. How do you know? Because we're going to close with tonight. But after the storm, the Bible says they went back to being in wonder at Jesus. They lost it at the miracle. Why? Because in the midst of the blessings, they became apathetic to who it was that was blessing them.
That's a good point. Amen.
And we have to be careful as Christians, because that can happen to us. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus was active in trying to help them see their apathy and to come out of it in their life. You see, Brother Joel,
that's good.
He put them on a ship. He sent them across the Sea of Galilee. He sends this giant storm into their life. And don't miss this. This wasn't a surprise. How do you know? Because the Bible says Jesus was standing on shore watching them go through the storm. Why? Because he was trying to use that storm to wake them up in their life. Amen. And tonight, this right here shows us. It shows us how God moves in our life to wake us up from our state of apathy back to a place where we are humbly broken and worshiping and amazed with our God tonight. And you see, Rejoy, how does he do it? And I want to look at just two thoughts tonight here, and then we'll close. If you're still with me, will you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I've been going, I told you ahead of time, probably going to be full time tonight, okay? So everybody all right with that? Can I get it? Go ahead. Amen.
Go ahead.
Number one, first of all, he will leave us alone. What do you mean, Brother Joy? I want you to look in verse 45 through 46. The Bible says this, that in verse 45, it says, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side on the Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. You see, the Bible says here that Jesus sent them out into a ship, but it was he that went into a mountain to pray. And I believe he went into a mountain to pray for them. But you see, Jesus had just finished ministering to thousands of people. He and the disciples were still being pursued by people, and Jesus put them on a familiar travel route in a boat sailing across the Sea of Galilee. But the difference was, this time he was not with them on the ship. Don't miss this. He sent them on a familiar route, but he would not go with them. This is a route that they were accustomed to. This was a route that they were usually making easy of an easy trip. There were others on the boat with him, but when they got out on the storm, in the middle of the storm, when they got in the Sea of Galilee, they realized as the storm arose that it was Jesus that was not with them. And while they knew that God cared for them, and while they knew that God loved them, God had to isolate them by themselves to get them to realize how much they need Jesus.
Amen.
In their life.
Amen.
And there are times in my life and in your life when God will withdraw his hand.
Yes.
From my life.
Yes.
To isolate me, to show me how much I need him.
Amen.
What do you mean, Brother Joy? Here's what I mean tonight. You know, everybody in this building tonight cares about something.
Yeah.
Right. Me and Ms. Scott, we were talking at supper tonight, how big of a football fan she is. And she's a Florida fan. Pray for her. I'm a Mississippi State fan. Fast and pray for me. Amen. Brother Thomas is a Florida State fan. Don't even worry about praying for him. That's a hopeless cause. All right, they're the Judas of the football, okay? All right. Now watch this. Some people say, Brother Joe, I don't care anything about football. Nope. But you do care about something.
Yes.
You care about something. You may not care about football. You may care about stock market. You may care about Bitcoin. You may care about society. You may care about news. You may care about something. But the truth of the matter is, everybody cares about something. And when we as Christians begin to get apathetic in our life, the Lord will target areas that we care about to isolate us, to show us and remind us of how much we need him.
That's so true. Amen.
You see, tonight, the truth of the matter is, God knows how to get my attention.
Yes, he does.
And how to get your
attention. That's right. Amen.
Now here's the truth. What get Miss Brenda may not get me.
Yeah. Amen.
And what get Brother Brian? Brother Brian, I got that right? I got that right. Bro, that's good. And today I remember that. For Mississippi boy, I'll take it. Now watch this. What works for him may not work for me.
Yeah, that's so true.
But do you agree with me that God knows how to get all of our
attention?
Yes,
amen.
Here's what he'll do. He'll take that and he'll separate it. And he'll put you all by yourself.
Mm.
Showing you, reminding you how much you need.
Yes. Come on, preacher. Amen.
Amen.
What the Bible teaches, it illustrates. I'm telling you, if you come to our church and you say what the Bible teaches, our church is going to say, it illustrates. They're going to say it out loud. We say that every service at our church. If you believe the Bible teaches something you can't find it illustrated in the Bible, you probably believe the Bible teaches something that it does not teach.
Amen. That's good.
But you think about Jonah. Now, I know Jonah disobeyed God, but why? This is why. Remember, God came to Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And the Bible is very careful to point out to us that when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah not only knew that they needed God, he knew that there was a lot of people there. And he said that I thought if I went, you would save someone. He knew that they would respond.
Yeah.
So I want you to put that on the bottom shelf. When God came to Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them about me. Tell them to repent and turn to me. I want you to go do that. The Bible says that Jonah was in such a state of apathy that he knew those people were going to hell. He felt some of them would turn to God and be saved, and yet he still did not care enough to go after them. And you say, why, Brother Joey? Here's why. Apathy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Apathy.
That's right.
So what did Jonah do? He went and got him a ticket and he said, hey, I'm going to run and I'm going to run from the Lord. And so he went and he bought a ticket and got on the ship. What did God do? God brought a storm. Now think about this.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
When Jonah was on the boat and he was surrounded by all the other mariners and they were screaming and crying, we're going to die, we're not going to make it. Jonah did not care about them. Why? Because he didn't care about Nineveh either. He didn't care about the people on the ship.
Wow.
But then, don't miss this, Jonah said, well, I don't care. Throw me overboard.
Yeah.
And God threw him overboard.
Mm.
Now get this. Here's the truth. After he hit the water, a giant fish, a whale, comes and swallows him up.
Yeah.
And see, Jonah thought, well, I'll just die if I hit this water. Nope. So God gave him a front row seat to nastiness.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, and he talks about it, where it talks about the sitting in the belly of hell. It talks about it, describes it in Psalms. But get this. He sat there one day, 6 hours, then 12 hours, then 24 hours. And old Jonah's down there stubborn his head. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. And God's up in heaven looking down saying, boy, you're third of the way there. Hang tight.
Yeah.
One day turns into 2 days. 2 days turns into 3 days. And after 3 days, the Bible says Jonah got so isolated, troubled, that he could no longer take it.
Mm.
And he cried out to God. And that's when he said, oh God, and God spit him out and told him to go. And you know the story. He goes to Nineveh and preaches, and thousands turn to Christ. But watch this. How did God get that man's attention? Here it was. Jonah didn't care about people. He didn't care about families. He didn't care about children.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, when he had to live with himself, we find out that he cared about himself.
Mm.
And God isolated him. God broke him. Why? You want to know why? To show him how apathetic he was.
Wow.
And tonight, your area that God attacked, it may not be you.
Yeah.
It may be your home.
Right.
God may allow something in your home to break you and bring you back to pleading and seeking after righteousness.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It may be your job. It may be something at work where God stirs something and does something to get you to seeking the Lord again.
Yeah.
It may be your church.
Yeah.
I don't know how God would do it, but I know this. When God wants to wake us up to the reality that we are not hungering and thirsting for Christ the way we ought to be, that God will get us by ourselves and show us how much we need Him.
Amen.
Can I get a witness tonight?
Amen.
Number one tonight, He'll get us by ourselves. Number two, He will let us fail. What do you mean, Brother Joy? Let me show you these two verses. I want to hasten through this because I want to get to the ending part tonight. I'm not trying to rush it, but man, I tell you, I definitely want to end on the note that I think God has for us. Look in verse number 48, if you don't mind with me tonight. The Bible says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they began to cry out. You see, the Bible gives a clear picture here of the disciples failing personally, and Peter also in another gospel during this setting, which we have in verse 48 through 49. The Bible says the disciples were sitting out on their way across the sea. The storm comes up. They begin to row, but watch this. They were going nowhere in their life. Are you listening to me? They were making no progress in their life. They were all working hard. The Bible says they were toiling and rowing. It doesn't mean they were down there paddling. My friend, it means they were at it. They were paddling hard. Their veins would have been popping out of their arms. If they'd have been big like me, they would have been red in their face. Amen. They'd have been swimming, but they were working at it hard. But watch this. They were going nowhere. They were getting nothing accomplished in life. They were at one place. They were stuck in the mud. They were frozen, my friend. Why? Because God was allowing them to fail so he could get their attention about how much they needed him. And then if you go over to Matthew 14, this is the incident where he came walking on the water. And Peter said, "Lord, is it you?" And he said, "Hey, come unto me." And the Bible says, remember this, that Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. Yeah. Now, this is not what I'm preaching tonight, but y'all, let's be honest. Would you not have liked to have seen that?
Yeah, amen.
He walked on the water. Now, I don't know how far he went, but he went a little ways, but he walked on the water. But as he was walking on the water, what did he do? You ready? He took his eyes off of Jesus. Yeah. And what happened? He began to sink.
Right.
And when he sank, what did he do? You ready? He cried out to God.
Amen.
I get this. Nothing in life runs us back to Jesus like failure.
That's
you know, sometimes, even in my life, I'm going to be honest with you, brother, here's what I do. When I have a struggle, when I fail at something or I fall down, what do? I blame the devil. But how do you understand? A lot of times we give the devil credit for what God's doing.
Amen.
He's allowing me to fail. Why? Because he's showing me that I'm nothing.
Right. Amen.
And y'all, tonight, failure in my life will bring me on the cusp of seeking God by nothingness.
Yes, sir.
You know, tonight, I was telling Brother Tommy about this couple, and I may share some of their testimony tomorrow night. We had this couple, man, that just got saved, and I'm telling you, they have spent the last 15 years on crystal meth. Running around, no home, couldn't hold a job, kids, they didn't have their kids. The system had taken their kids. One of the kids was over here. One of them was over there. One of them was over there. And they lived that way for almost 15 years. And then, God saved them. And boy, when God saved them, they got a double dose.
Amen.
I'm talking about they quit meth immediately. That's
Praise
how you know
Lord.
That God did.
Amen.
That was regeneration.
Yeah.
Now don't miss this. God saved them. God began to put their relationship back together as husband and wife. God opened the door. All this within like 4 months. God opened the door for them to get their kids to be able to come back and
Praise
be with them.
Lord.
They were able to get a good job, buy a house. God was putting their family back together.
Amen.
And then here's what I noticed. They started missing church. You know what happened? God threw a wrench in the middle of their marriage. They got in a big fight. He went out and went and bought some meth from somebody, took a dose of it. Hey, it knocked him out. He slept in a man's front yard all night long and throughout the night. Laid there and slept in the front yard the whole night. She ran off. He didn't know where she was. And you know what happened? Get this. Sunday morning, guess where they were? At church.
Amen.
Invitation time, guess where they were? The altar. You know why? This is why. Because God allows us to fail. To remind us that we didn't fix our lives.
Amen.
It's He that has put our lives.
That's in. True.
And failure. Now I want to close here. I got to get here. And tonight, you may be sitting here and you say, you know what, Brother Joey? I believe in Jesus. I know I do. And I love Him. I'm thankful for Him. He's been good to me. But when I'm honest with my own heart, the enthusiasm of worship for my Lord. I'm talking about the personal admiration of God. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to know you. I'm glad to worship you.
Yes.
The personal enthusiasm for my Savior. I'm slowly seeing my own apathy in my heart.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe tonight, it's true of your family.
Mm.
Maybe you can remember a time when your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, they were more enthusiastic for God than they are right now.
Mm. Come on, preach.
Apathy. Apathy. Maybe tonight it's your church. Now listen, I'm going to be honest. We have only been here for 2 days.
Yeah.
You're here all the time.
Mm.
If you judge your own life, your own part in the church of Christ, can you see that, Brother Joey? I'm telling you, we got to be cherishing Christ.
Mm.
And apathy slowly can even creep into well-meaning churches.
Right. Yes.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
You say, well, Brother Joey, what does all that mean to us? I want to say this tonight. God does not allow us to grow apathetic without trying to get our attention.
Amen. Amen.
But when He does, He demands a response.
Yes. Come on, preacher.
Can I go out? Can I trend to some sacred water? Is it okay?
Come on, preacher.
I'm not your pastor. I want you to stay with me here, but I want to go here. Apathy is not an issue of my salvation. Apathy is an issue of whether or not God can use my life.
Amen.
Don't miss this. Nobody goes to hell because they're apathetic.
Mm.
But apathetic Christians will be surrounded by people that are going to hell and there's nothing they can do about it.
Mm.
And when Christians, homes, and churches grow apathetic, if they do not repent and say, God, restore unto us the enthusiasm for Christ.
Yeah, come on.
May you be number one, the fire that burns in our soul. May you be that fire if they do not respond in humility and brokenness and repentance. Don't miss this. God will pass that person, that family, that church by and go bless somebody else that's willing to be on the fire.
Amen.
I want to show it to you. Look at verse 48. The Bible says this, and this is amazing to me. The Bible says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Mark 6, I'm sorry. Contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking under the sea. Now watch this. And would have, say these next three words.
Passed by
them. Now I want you to look at me. That right there says, he would have.
Yeah.
Passed them by. Are you saying, Brother Joey, that if the disciples would have not have cried out with Jesus, that he would have passed them by and went to somebody else?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you can study those words in every language you want to. That is exactly what is intended to imply.
Yes. Yeah.
So how does that come down to us? Tonight, God can tolerate a lot of things, but he does not tolerate apathy in his people.
Mm.
And while we may be saved as apathetic Christians, we cannot serve him as apathetic Christians.
Right.
And remember this. What the Bible teaches, it illustrates.
Yeah.
I want you to take your Bible. We're going to end here. I told you it's going to take a little longer. And hey, y'all said go ahead, not me.
Yeah,
y'all did,
ahead.
All right? So I'm just fulfilling y'all's request. Amen.
Amen.
All right? I want you to go to Revelation chapter 3 with me. I want you to see this. This is where God himself is speaking to a church. Revelation chapter 3, all the way to the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 3. Verse number 14. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 14. The Bible says, and unto the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now watch this. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Somebody getting a call. Amen. Now look what he says. He says that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now look at me. So Jesus said this. He speaks to the church in Laodicea and he says this. You're not cold. In other words, you don't deny me. I know your works. You're good people. You believe the truth. You stand for the truth. You fight for the truth. You hold for the truth. I believe that about you. He says, you're not cold and you're not hot. You're not on fire for me. You're not out there on the front line just blazing for me and enthusiastic and wondering, worship of me. He said, you're not hot. You're not cold. He says, but you're lukewarm. And lukewarm, what is lukewarm? Here it is. Lukewarm Christianity is where apathy sets in. And we just begin to live in status quo. Until Jesus comes and takes us home.
Come on, preacher.
And here's what Jesus said. He said, you either repent, or I am going to go somewhere else that is hot. Because those that represent me must not be apathetic. And so tonight, as you look at your own life and you say, Brother Joey, there's been times in my life when I felt more of a fire for God's Word. A passion for singing to Him. A passion for witnessing for Him. A passion for seeking His righteousness, His presence, His voice in my life. There's been times in my life. And if you ignore His call tonight about apathy in your life, here's my personal conviction. He'll pass you by. And He'll go bless somebody else. You say, Brother Joey, no, He won't. Then why did He write that?
Right.
How many of you believe God wasted any of His time?
No.
No. Why do you think He wrote that?
Right.
I'll tell you why He wrote it. Because we must understand that we cannot be apathetic. We are light. We cannot be dim lights. We have to be bright lights in this dark, dark world. Why? Because we represent our Christ. And
yes,
we'll say more
amen.
About that tomorrow night. But tonight, would you bow your heads with me? In a word of prayer. Now, Father, this evening, Lord, God, in the next few moments, I pray that You would help us individually. Size up our own heart, Lord. Where are we in our own personal life? God, are we hot? Are we cold? Are we lukewarm? God, if we allow lukewarmness, apathy, to settle in our life. God, we know tonight that You are looking for a people that are looking for You.
Yes.
And God, You want to bless our lives. You want to bless our homes. And You want to bless our church. But Lord, we must be hot for You, Jesus. So God, tonight, as You pass by, may we cry out to You.
Yes.
Lord, we pray this in Your name. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed tonight. Miss Brenda's going to play. You want to come pray tonight? I want to invite you to do that. These altars are open tonight. While she prays, you come. Come on, sir. Ma'am, you come on. Best thing for your home, your spouse, your children. Tonight, may the Lord have His way in our life to help us. If you will, real quietly, let's stand to our feet. All across the building, let's stand. As she plays tonight, we won't have singing. But you want to come and pray tonight while they play. While the music plays tonight, you need to come pray. You come. Maybe tonight it's in your own life. Maybe you realize it in your home. Maybe your church. Whatever it is tonight. As our sister prays tonight, as she plays, may God have His way in our lives. Thank you.
easy to slip into it. So easy to slip into it. Even in good routines, getting a good Christian godly habits, and it's so easy just to be used, just to kind of be in the habit of doing it and lose the heart for doing it. Amen? And I don't want that. I don't want to continue in apathy. I don't want to be in a state of apathy.
Yes.
And you pray that God will help me in that area.
Amen.
And I would be more zealous about the things of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And Brother Joy, I sure appreciate that word tonight. Appreciate you minding the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, please reach out to your family and church family as well. Plead with them. Bribe them if you have to. Get them here. We all need that word. Amen? That's good. And that helps me. That helps me a lot. I promise you, here tomorrow night, the Lord do something in your heart again. He'll help you. And so please plan on being here. Pray for the services and do your best to encourage others to come. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Bruce, pray for us.
Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Lord, I thank you for opening our eyes
to
our
apathy. Yes,
Lord. I thank you for showing us the dangers of it.
Mm.
Not only what it can do in our own life, but others.
Yes,
God. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, show us mercy, and draw us back to yourself.
Yes, God.
Grant. So thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, Wednesday, we have a meal here at 5:30. So come here early, and this Sunday as well is our